You may recall that Barbados has converged its local and international tax rates. This was after it seemed that no matter what we did prior to that, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, better known as the OECD, was accusing this country of harmful tax practices. It now remains to be seen whether we finally escape such OECD scrutiny. Some have already raised the prospect of the OECD frowning on the new local initiative to invite foreigners to work from here as one means of stimulating a form of long-term tourism. And there remains much interest in how this and other developments will impact on our desire to remain an attractive international financial center. We also have an interest in a debate over whether the debts that governments have incurred by the coronavirus pandemic should be paid by unlocking the money held offshore in tax havens. Dan Mitchell is chairman of the Center for Freedom and Prosperity, where he specializes in international tax competition.
I think government today in the Western world is far too big. The academic evidence suggests that you maximize economic growth when the burden of government is well under 20% of GDP.
But in these specific circumstances where governments have had to pay for PPE, they've had to pay for more intensive care units, things that they couldn't have really avoided doing.
Well, that's why we had that discussion about the World War II example to start the program. If you have a short-term emergency, that's a perfectly reasonable opportunity to run up some debt. But you want to make sure that you then pay down the debt once the emergency is over and you don't permanently increase the burden of government and therefore slow economic growth. And that's what I fear politicians are doing. And by the way, you had the quote from Emmanuel Macron earlier where he said the French taxpayers aren't going to pay it. Businesses are going to pay it. That has to be the most economically illiterate statement I've ever heard. Businesses don't pay taxes. They merely collect taxes. It's workers, consumers, and shareholders who bear the burden. I don't think for purposes of just good, honest public discussion that politicians like that should be able to get away with saying things that are so blatantly wrong.
On the other side of this debate is David Cardin, a lawyer who worked with the Obama administration.
Well, I think it's clearly the case that the consumers are ultimately going to be paying some significant portion of what it is that corporations will be asked to pay. But I want to step back just a moment and say that these binary choices that are offered, you've got people being pipped up off the street, or you know, you've got needs to hide money against oppressive governments. This sets up what I'd characterize as sort of a conversation between those who support freedom versus those that are focused on fairness. That's a false choice in this instance. Yes, of course, it's true that oppressive governments will do what they do. And what we're suggesting today, there's nobody on this call that would want to do anything but try to limit that possibility. But the fact is that the issue is much more nuanced. When we're talking about freedom versus fairness here, freedom to put your money away and hide it and keep it away from everybody else to protect yourself or your children, whatever it may be. But, you know, what about freedom from the coronavirus? Or what about freedom from climate change? Or what about freedom from human migration? Those are freedoms. And so the question really of just when it comes down to financial freedom versus the freedoms to actually create a meaningful, sustainable society sets up, I think, a conversation that's a false one. You know, I'm reminded of Galbraith's view that, you know, one of the least successful enterprises in moral philosophy is the search for a superior moral justification for selfishness. You can always find a justification for selfishness. It's there to be had. You can cite religion. You can cite all kinds of things if you want. You cite independence or freedom. But the fact is we have a problem right now. And the problem is we need to pay for these challenges that are going to ruin people's lives across the world. And yes, it will be hard getting at some of this money, but we need to try.
Dan Mitchell, are you advocating selfishness over taking care of society in a moment of crisis?
I'm very much against selfishness. I'm against the selfishness of a political class that tries to buy its way to re-election by constantly making government bigger at the cost of...
But what about that specific point that David Cardin's just made about the issues that we face right now in the midst of a pandemic?
Well, again, I think the World War II example is the appropriate one. We have a short-term emergency. I don't think you have a permanent increase in the tax burden for a short-term emergency, especially when it translates into much less prosperity in the long run for people.
This has been Sagicor's Early Business.